You're listening to The Farah Podcast, starring Todd Perry.
Because when a woman's pregnant, it's like turducken.
Fuck Perez.
Not saying so weak, but I do transact the possession of cannabis in exchange for goods and services.
And from the rotating gang of Cigar Store Indians, Jeff Armatz.
I've watched a lot of porno with a lot of different people.
Welcome back to the Far Out Podcast. My name is Todd Perry. To the right of me is a great Buck Perez.
Todd, how we doing?
Doing good, Buck. Left once again, coming back. Many shows he's done recently. Comic book artist who can't talk about his recent comic stuff till it drops, but we're really
super
excited.
Super secret.
Really excited about it. On today's show, we're gonna talk about. We have a bunch of stuff planned.
Wait, I'm Jeff Armatz. You didn't introduce me properly.
Oh, Jeff Armatz.
You forgot my name.
God damn.
People won't know who they're listening to. They'll think I'm Elliot.
That's true.
Yeah. It's similar sounding, yes.
You just have to say a joke and then end it in a question sounding like, is there a lava lamp? And then you sound Elliot.
Quick, Jeff, say amazing.
Amazing.
It's pretty close.
It's spot on.
Elliot's amazing is the best. We love Elliot. Elliot is a big part of the show. He's always sending in ideas. Love it.
Big time.
Big time. So yeah, we're gonna talk about boobs. I like that. Here's the rundown. We're talking about boobs. We're gonna talk about.
I mean, we're usually talking about boobs, like on our personal lives. Like that's 90% of my conversation, at least.
Most of the show, though, is like defecating.
Maybe
most
we should
and balls and shit like that. Yeah.
So, let's have a
No, we're talking about boobs. That's good.
Let's have a defecation-free show. How about that?
Okay, let's do that.
We're going to talk about sixth senses, I think. And we've got Jeff's got an interesting story about some erotic material he saw recently. We got a whole bunch going on here. We'll see what we can get to.
Jeff's erotica.
We'll see what we can get to. But I recently, like, I talk many times, like, for a long time, I've talked about sharing my bed and the importance of that.
Sure.
On the previous show, Low Budget FM.
With your wife, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And just making clarifying.
A big deal on Low Budget FM was about how I had sleeping issues and I used to sleep on the couch all the time. Mm. A certain percentage of the show is dedicated to sleep, and I've found something that's really helped me wake up in the morning.
Oh.
And it's a new app I got for my phone. It was only 99 cents. And if you guys remember the old wrestler from the 80s, the Iron Sheik.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Who is the number one person, my favorite person on Twitter.
Yeah, he's all over.
Yeah.
He's all over Twitter.
He's huge on Twitter, and he just sits and he rips on people. And he basically, the Iron Sheik's critique on any pop culture person is always, I feel like, the most legitimate viewpoint I should take. Like, he's like... He's always like he's really pissed at the Ultimate Warrior. He's really pissed at Hulk Hogan. Always says he has a Rice Krispie dick and raisin balls.
Wow.
He's always taking a. He's real. He hates Chris Brown, and he's always like Chris Brown has the Rice Krispie dick. Chris Brown's mother. I'll do her old country way.
That's a real insult. Rice Krispie dick.
And he
meaning like what flaccid? Is that what that means?
He's have a fucking small penis. You ever had Rice Krispies?
I thought it was like crispy. Popped up and filled with
That's
air.
That's what I'm saying. I thought it was a bunch of Rice Krispies together.
No, one Rice Krispie.
Oh, like a treat. I thought it was like a treat.
Like a weird jangly dick.
Yeah.
But the Iron Sheik is like, you know.
Raisin balls.
He's always taking it out to people, no matter what's going on in pop culture. So I kind of go to him for how I should feel. Or to, you know, like Mark Twain in the 1900s would write for all these magazines and do opinion pieces. And he was the voice of that time. And I feel like Iron Sheik is the same.
He's your everyman. He's your Jimmy Stewart, you know? That's who he is to you. Yeah.
And he's also a former crackhead and a former pro wrestler. And I don't know. I'm part of Team Sheiky, as they say.
Like I said, shit happens. You know, sometimes shit happens. And the Sheik got hooked on some shit.
I just read a wonderful comic. It's a Norwegian fellow who did it, and it's about like naked 12-year-old girls, and Iron Sheik beats up a bunch of naked 12-year-old girls.
Yeah, he should, because what he does is he often says...
This is the erotica we were referring
it's
to.
It's not erotica. Oh, it's just kind of like esoterica, I guess.
Yeah. Oh. Nice. Another of my solo album will be called Esoterica as well. But the Iron Sheik also, he says to people, he's going to break their backs and make them humble and put them in the camel clutch.
Nice.
And the worst insult the Iron Sheik can call somebody is a jabroni. And don't know if you know what that is.
That's big time. Now, that's a big insult back east.
But you know what a jabroni is, Buck.
I've heard it whipped about. and I've said it to people, but I don't know what the fuck it means. What does it mean?
Well, the jabroni is when they had in it's like wrestling speak, and you know there was always those guys like Iron Mike Sharp that were like the low end wrestlers, right, that they didn't want to, you know, put the best wrestlers against each other every week. There's the guy who's the chosen loser,
right?
And that guy's never going to make his way up in the WWF or the WWE or whatever they call it these days. And the jabroni is like the worst. You're the chosen loser, so he calls people a jabroni, which is the worst fucking thing when the Iron Sheik calls you that.
It's horrible.
So I got this. I've been sleeping well and waking up well because I bought this app, which is the Iron Sheik's alarm clock.
Nice.
So the Iron Sheik wakes me up, and here's just a couple things that he says. So, good morning, you fucking jabroni. And sometimes I'm like, what time is it?
What
time is it? I don't give a fuck. What are you doing still in the fucking bed?
Is he talking through like a Dr. Doom mask? Like, what does that sound?
I don't know, the audio quality coming
it's
out of
horrible.
It.
It's horrible.
I love that there's just some guys in the world who are like, yo, we'll just put Iron Sheik in a recording studio, and that's how we're going to make money, and he's just going to yell.
Right.
You can read all these great, you know, seven spirits of the healing soul. You can do all this shit to try to get your life together, right, but I feel like the Iron Sheik just humbling your ass every morning is going to make you go break your ass, make some fucking money, you know, take out all the jabronis in your life, and speak real.
Fuck Mondays. Yeah.
Hate
like
the Monday.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, a Garfield.
Yeah. So we should have like a far out app where it's just like Buck saying, what do you think I am, naive to the game?
Yeah, exactly.
Or like Buck saying, wake and bake, son of a bitch, it's Tuesday.
I'll do it. If you want me to sell myself out, I will.
The Buck Perez app?
Yes, I'm more than willing to. But the Iron Sheik is cornering the market on this shit.
Yeah, we can't really break
what
into that.
What a wise businessman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fuck the Monday. That's what I'm... Actually, it's tonight. It's Sunday night. We're recording. Mm. I'm definitely going to set that up for tomorrow morning. Monday. Fuck the Monday. And I'm like, yes, fuck the Monday. I'm going to get up, have some coffee, and fuck the Monday. Get on that goddamn 91 freeway and, you know, go dance for the man. So, Jeff, you were telling me before we started this recording session that you had a really odd experience watching porno.
Well, yeah. So, you know, it was the Grandland. Grandland did a wonderful kind of retelling of the history of Swingers, the movie that is great, the Vince Vaughn, John Favreau joint.
Yeah.
Fucking love that movie.
Your money.
Yeah, your money, baby.
Yeah, your money.
And you don't even know it. I think, though, the worst thing about that film was everybody quoting it from, like, 1999 to 2002. Mm. Like, the whole your money thing got real old real quick.
It did, but don't hold that against the movie.
Mm-mm.
You wouldn't hold Pulp Fiction against all the imitators that everybody's trying to do that Pulp Fiction thing. Pulp Fiction's still great.
I would not. Yes, yeah. You are correct.
So, having exhausted the normal ways that a person would legally watch this movie, I subscribe to a lot of services, your Netflixes, your Hulus, your Amazons, all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't find it on there. So I went to an illegal site to download it, and I typed in Swingers in the search box, and the first thing that came up was a film called Check Mega Swingers 7 Part 6.
Whoa. 7 Part 6?
Yes.
Nice.
Is that like Leonard Part 6, the old Cosby movie?
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. So, 7 parts. So, they have 6 different versions of 7. How many versions of 6 do they have?
That's a wonderful question. But when you type in Swingers, a lot of Czech mega swingers comes up.
You know what? Part 5 was where they really hit their peak.
Yeah.
You know, after 5, it was kind of downhill after that.
I feel like with the Czech swingers, they're going to be doing the wild and crazy guys bit from Saturday Night Live. Like, we are Czech brothers that swing so successfully. We're going to grab your big American breasts.
There you go.
Buck, can I get I am Pollock?
I am Pollock! Every time.
Yeah.
I am proud of Pollock.
But we are two swinging Czech brothers, Buck. Who are you?
I am Pollock. Eh? Huh?
But we are swinging so successfully with women and their big American breasts.
We make the French kiss on the lady.
We make it the Pollock on her. That's right.
Instead of the buck?
Yeah, what if that was a phrase for that?
The
we
Pollock?
Do the Pollock on her. What'd you do? I did the Pollock.
I think no one actually knows what doing the buck is, but doing the Pollock seems...
It seems like you're fucking it up.
Doing the Pollock is like three dudes scrambling in a light bulb, right?
Yeah.
There's a light bulb involved. So, Jeff, you saw
yes,
this.
Okay, so we always enjoy, I don't know if you guys get down with this, but it's always nice on a Saturday afternoon to watch a porno with some gentlemen at your house on the big screen TV.
No, that's the most, we did socially awkward situations the last show. Like, I've been at parties where there's a bunch of dudes sitting around watching porno, and it's bad because there's one guy who's always having fun with it. Hey, we're watching porno, isn't that funny? And then there's the one guy who can't escape his own animalistic desires and is sitting there like with his legs crossed because he has a Woody, and he's like looking real intense at the TV, and he's not talking.
Right.
Like, he's really ingesting it, and he's like thinking, how can I beat off? Like, at what point can I say I'm going to go take a shit?
Yeah, I'm going to a bathroom. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good way to judge your friends, is who's that guy who's, like, way too keyed in and not laughing? Like, because, you know, if you have a boner, you're really sexually turned on, like, humor goes out the window.
Yes.
Like, I can't tell a joke if I'm horny. Right? Like, this is, like, you know.
It's kryptonite to you.
But it's also the guy that's just way too relaxed watching heavy sexual activity that's not being aroused by it that you got to question his synapses.
Right.
So, but you're telling me that you're not going to be a sexy comedy magician anytime soon. You're not embarking on that career.
And also, Jeff, I'm not coming over on a Saturday morning when you're watching porno with some dudes. Okay. Like, I'm not. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So
exclude me.
Well, so we did
I'm
watch
saying
it.
Call me. All right.
All right. Come
Saturday,
on over.
Yeah, Saturday morning you guys are watching some porn. Just hit buck up.
All right.
I'll try.
It's no Maury, but it'll do. It'll do in a pinch.
It's better than MC Search, which is what I'm watching now. Let's just put it that way.
Buck is screaming, "You are not the father," to the guy who just pulled out and put it on her face.
Show your face. Like the Far Out Podcast on Facebook. Discuss the show. Receive updates. And get Facebook exclusive audio.
So I found this article on Cosmo the other day, and I...
The most prestigious of our publications.
Right. Yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, in order to compete in the realm of podcasting where there's so many podcasts out there, and I almost get kind of daunted when I see just the amount of white dudes talking to white dude podcasts, you know, and it's like, I don't even want to know. Like, I just want to do our show and do it great and not know who the competition is and not how to know how to kind of differentiate ourselves. But the reason we can differentiate ourselves because most podcasts are just guys talking to a comedian. But we actually have lots of topics and lots of prepared stuff for our show. So that kind of gives us a leg up and we keep our listeners that way. But I always have to keep digging to deeper and deeper sources to try to find material.
Man, we're at the bottom of the fucking barrel. Cosmo? How's Lauren Conrad dealing with the haters? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was one of the lines I saw.
Well, that was going to be a topic, but I decided not to do that.
Man.
But
I'm more well-versed in there.
I came across this article, and it was problems only with big boobs understand. So I thought that for our listeners, they might run across big boob women in your life. Like, you see, you know, there's people at work. It's maybe your significant other is a large-breasted woman.
Don't be dismissive. Some of the listeners might be big-boobed women.
That's
true. Yes, you are completely correct.
We have five women listening. One of them might be stacked. What's going on?
So, you know, I feel like, if a guy runs across a woman with large breasts and he wants to hook up with her or something, maybe he's a boob man, this will give him a little bit of insight into what the fuck she's thinking about her big boobs. I don't know. Like, have you guys ever been with a large breasted woman? I had one girlfriend that was really well endowed in the early the late 90s, maybe. And
back when big boobs were big boobs.
Mm-hmm. Back when men
those were
men,
the days. Yeah.
Women were women and boobs were boobs. There was no skirting the issue. A boob was a boob, you know. But I had this one girlfriend for a little while, and then I had to kind of manage the boobs, but I always felt like I had to ignore the boobs because I didn't want her to think I was with her for the boobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just an accident. I didn't realize she had big boobs till deeper in the relationship because I'm a butt man, and so I'm always kind of fixated on the butt. And
you're
then,
like, whoops, yeah, these.
I pulled the dress up. Wow,
whoops,
wow. But she was anorexic.
Wow.
She had like an eating disorder. So they were kind of deflated big boobs. Mm. So you got to manage that sexually. And there were things I didn't understand about it, hence why I might have made some incorrect moves when I'd pick it up and drop it.
You don't want to throw quarters at them.
No. And these are all things I should have known.
Oh, man.
So a couple things. One thing is you can't wear button-down shirts because the buttons gape, and you basically look semi-naked. One time I realized this was happening 30 minutes into a work meeting, and it's like having in your a spinach in your teeth, but it's a poop thing.
Right.
So because the button is getting so distressed and it's getting ready to pop off and like, you know, take a guy's eye out, and that's a huge problem.
I was thinking this could go for some of our male listeners. This could apply.
Oh, man breasts?
Yeah, they might be packing, you know, just breaking that button.
And then also another thing that problems that only women with big boobs understand is that people will ask you if your back hurts.
Sure.
While I realize this is an issue for some women, it's weird when people assume that something I actually like about my body is seen as a disability. So I guess you can't, if you see a woman with big breasts and you want to maybe be the guy that's he's so compassionate, he's like, oh my God, I...
That's such a creepy move to be like.
See, that is
do you
a creep
see a chiropractor
move, yeah.
for those titties?
See, they say guys can't detect creep. That sounds creepy.
Yeah, that sounds that real does creepy.
Does your back hurt a lot?
It's, you know, you got them tits or whatever.
Yeah, serious.
Like, if I had tits like that, I'd be seeing a chiropractor on a weekly basis, like a $40 copay.
You need a massage.
I once...
You're so charming. Oh.
I once threw my back out, but it was only because I was doing a retrofit on a building downtown. And so I should know how you feel.
Not because I had big boobs like you do.
Yeah, I have this weight belt in the van if you need to put it on.
I would really enjoy that.
Everyday exercises are basically not possible. There is this much space between my boobs and the floor during a push-up. That's true.
That is true. That's why I guess women don't do push-ups, maybe? I don't know. It seems sexy. That's a sexy idea.
Big-breasted women. But I feel like if you're doing the push-up with large boobs, like you go down and then you kind of bounce back up, right?
Right.
So you can almost accuse a woman of cheating on the push-up. You
well, like, isn't there something called a girl push-up?
Girl push-up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the...
I used to get called on that a lot. You're doing a girl push-up, Perez, you know?
When you were in the military?
Yeah, for a week. Let's not talk about it, Jeff.
I think that women should have to do the same male push-ups, you know. It's the soft prejudice of low expectations when you're asking a woman to...
I feel like, though, when they're doing the push-up and you're saying they're bouncing back, it's kind of like working your core.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that ball you bounce up and down on. You're working your core there.
Your poob core.
Yeah, you're working a muscle there. So keep doing it, ladies.
There's also a thing that, and again, I talked about this, about how when I was with the big-breasted women, I made sure that I did not pay too much attention because she was probably thinking, you know, he just likes me for my boobs. But they say, guys pay too much attention to your boobs in bed, as if assuming that big boobs automatically equate to extremely sensitive clitoris-like pleasure appendages. And that's not true. So just because a woman has large breasts doesn't mean that if you're working the nipple, they're going to like it more than a small-chested woman.
I don't know. Boobs are great. You can do, you know, it's always fun to like touch a boob, big or small. You know, you don't need to go crazy if it's a big boob.
But if it's a big boob, I find that some guys get scientific with it, or maybe I'm just projecting my own sexuality. I see it and then I'm like, oh, whoa.
You divide it into hemispheres?
Yeah, I work one, do it against the other one. I put the face in, and then I'm not looking at her, paying attention to her needs, but I'm kind of lifting them up. Like, how do they fall? What's the gravity like in this situation?
Right. You're curious about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't go in. You're not a Boy Scout. You got to go in there like a trained lover that knows his way around. So you just kind of work it into the normal mix of the salad bar of sex. You're not just like, I'm going to put a bunch of Bacos on the salad. You know, you're like, I'm just going to have like a normal amount of Baco. And so I'm going to give her the same titty attention that I give a flat-chested girl.
True, I guess. I mean, I don't do that. I know what you're saying about, you know, paying more attention at big breasts. Yeah.
And then there's
more area to them, so
that's
I guess
saying,
you do have to. There's more work.
There's more
math, but
you know, it's just science.
Yeah,
it's just science.
I'm saying just downplay it, like walk in like you don't know what's happening.
Oh, you have boobs? What?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're always like shocked. oh my gosh, you got big boobs. Like, you're shocked by this. I mean, don't treat it as such. Make it in the forefront.
I guess, and then there's a last one we'll go through, and they say, people, even those who don't know you well, say things to you, even in casual conversation, like, have you ever thought about getting a breast reduction? Have you ever thought about, and she says, no. Have you ever thought about getting a nose job? It would be just as rude of a thing to say. Have you ever said that to a woman?
Why would, I mean.
I did once, and the woman, Soleil Moon Frye.
Oh, yeah?
Punky Brewster.
Did you ask her if she thought about
it? I said,
and then she
got one.
No, she's pretty fine.
Yeah, she was, and then she got the breast reduction. That's horrible.
I haven't heard from her since.
No, I won't talk to her. She calls me, I won't talk to her.
But there was that episode, I think, on the Wonder Years.
Huh.
Where Kevin Arnold is with Soleil Moon Frye and Punky Brewster, and she has like these amazingly massive breasts, and she goes to take her shirt off or whatever, and then Kevin Arnold like almost faints.
This is the Wonder Years?
Yes.
I guess I didn't watch a ton of it. I thought that was a pretty wholesome show, and I didn't know they were making titty jokes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the ratings got low by the sixth season.
Yeah, did Wayne come in and like beat him up?
Yeah. He's giving him noogies. What, you don't like titties?
Exactly.
You can't stand the sight of a titty without passing out. I watched The Wonder Years the other day because I was wondering, I don't know how comfortable you guys, or how much you guys have watched the show, but there was this girl named Madeline that was like the hot chick.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That was like challenging Kevin and Winnie.
Right.
And so I was like, I wonder what's up with that girl.
He did the science project with her.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the cooking thing.
Right.
And the she was honestly one of the hottest chicks ever. And then I thought to myself, okay, somebody that I was like lost my mind, like all the guys in middle school, like when we were all, you know, in middle school, were like, you see that episode of Wonder Years last night with Madeline? It was like, oh my God, that chick was so hot. And then I looked back and I realized the girl was like 19. In that episode where Kevin Arnold was like 14. So, actually, it's totally fine to watch that episode of The Wonder Years and be like hot for Madeline.
Legally.
Yeah, because she was like 19 but playing like a 15-year-old girl.
Oh.
Game on.
And now it's time for your dose of Far Out Health with Todd Perry, a man who isn't afraid of needles.
The sixth sense can be explained by science. At least one type of sixth sense isn't real, new research suggests. The new study, detailed Monday in the journal PLOS ONE, found that people perceive as a sixth sense might simply be their vision symptoms detecting changes they can't articulate. People can sense things that they believe they cannot see, such as changes in a person's appearance. But this isn't anything magical or a sixth sense. This could be explained in terms of visual processing.
Your brain's telling you you're smarter than you are.
Yes, exactly. It's like when people have deja vu, it's usually you just had a little brain fart. You live with your brain 24 hours a day. Every once in a while, it's going to fuck up on you. So I was thinking that...
you're getting all Matrix with me.
I'm sorry.
Like, I'm fucking freaking out right now.
Buck, have you lost... Are you like 10 miles behind me right now?
I don't know what's going on.
But I was thinking to myself, if we just had the ability to have six senses on the show between me, Buck Perez, and Jeff Harmatz, what would they be? And I immediately went to one. Well, first of all, Buck, can I have another beer?
Sure.
Jeff's got it?
Every time you ask for me to get one, Jeff does it. So,
no worries. I love Jeff. It's the red shirt cigar store Indian move. Always going for the beer.
Yes, I have another one as well.
Yes, please enjoy yourself. I would like to have sonar.
Oh.
You know, like whales have, where they do that clicking noise, like in their head.
Aquaman?
Yeah, and then they can see within things. Like, I read this book called A Death at SeaWorld, and it's about, like, killer whales in captivity. Strange, you might think. But if you listen to the show, you know I'm completely reading this book. And there was a great story where, like, one of the trainers got in the water, and the whale wouldn't work with the trainer. And she was like, I don't know what the hell, you know, the whale's being very gentle with me. He won't work with me. He doesn't know what's going on. She later found out she was pregnant because the whale's a sonar. It can x-ray into her, saw that she was pregnant, which she didn't even know. And I thought that if I had sonar, that would be badass. I mean, not echolocation like a bat where it's like, because that would just be annoying if we were having dinner, hanging out doing the show. I'm like, and then I'm like, Jeff, you have a hemorrhoid.
I'm saying she's not pregnant. She just had stanky cooch. That's what I'm saying. Maybe the whale could smell. I don't know. But he's just like, man, I'm not getting near that.
But Buck, if you could, if you had that, you could tell if someone was the father. Even maybe you might have echolocation.
That would be a nice sense, sixth sense. Yeah,
like you I can could detect the race of the baby in the womb.
There you go.
You'd say that's not his nose. But I feel like if I had sonar, then like maybe we'd be rolling up on a bar, and we don't know if it's dead or not. And then I'd like, they'd be like, there are some hot bitches at the bar tonight, right. And then we go in there and talk to them. Wow. All right,
what if the bar is full of pregnant bitches?
Then I would like. Then I'd have to take a knee.
You'd want.
I'd have to like Tebow outside of that because I'd be so taken back by the amount of humanity in there, the amount of humanity inside humanity. Because when a woman's pregnant, it's like turducken to the sonar.
Oh my god!
One thing inside of another thing.
Mm-hmm. So I would really love to have it. It would help. Like, you know, maybe we're going to Target and we want to make sure. Like, you know, do they have that shirt I'm looking for in that size? And I'd stand out outside and I'm like. Out of stock. You know, it would make my relationship with my wife much easier.
And that sound would accompany?
Yeah, I mean, that would be the annoying part. Where people would walk around and be like, oh, this motherfucker with his sonar in his head.
Yeah.
And then I'd probably, with the fan, I have a big forehead now. So
it's like a six.
Yeah.
No, it's just because you're a genius. It's all that brain.
That's true. Maybe I'd have to wear a helmet so as to not hurt my sonar. But Buck, if you had a sixth sense, what would it be?
Well, not to say I do, not to say I sell weed. But I do transact the, I do sometimes transact the possession of cannabis in exchange for goods and services.
Yeah, okay.
I just wanted to say that, first and foremost. Yeah, not that I sell it.
Is that your lawyer talking?
No, it's just me. Anyway, I would love, and I think I would save so much money if I could just immediately eyeball weed. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I just know the weight of it?
Yes, exactly. Like to the ounce or to the, you know, to the gram. Because that's what I'm weighing it out at.
But
you know?
To the gram.
To the gram. So, I'm sorry, go ahead. As far as, I'm losing money every year, you know? I'm selling people, slanging, just a little bit at a time. Not to say I sell weed. But, you know, and, you know, I don't own a scale. I don't want, I feel like that's too much of a commitment for me at this point.
The $30 to
as if I buy the scale, I'm admitting something socially. So, no, I eyeball. But I feel like I'm losing money at this point because I'm over generous and I don't want my customers to feel like, you know, I'm shortchanging them. I'm like Larry David at the end of a meal. I'll just keep throwing 20s on the table until you tell me to stop, you know? It's just how it is. I feel the guilt is what it is. So, I don't know. If I could be like a superhero, I'd want to be able to just look at weed and be like, that's 3.6, not 3.5. You know what I'm saying?
And you could charge appropriately.
Exactly.
So it's a real kind of free market kind of sixth sense that you'd have.
Like,
but I figure the amount of weed that you've ingested and possibly profited off of in your life, that you would have this developed at this point.
You would think, but like I said, the guilt overrides, you know, the Catholic guilt, the guilt about weed and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just feel
you just need the cold-blooded gene to be able to short somebody.
Yeah, fuck them.
To knowingly short somebody.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's bad.
All right, maybe I'll try that in my non-drug dealing transactions.
Yeah. Okay, one more time, can you read the legal disclaimer before what you're saying?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Not to say I sell weed, but I do sometimes transact a possession of marijuana in exchange for goods and services. Yes.
Yeah, Jeff, if you had a sixth sense.
You know, I don't know if it's quite a sixth sense, but have you guys seen like BBC's Sherlock show?
Oh, sure.
I've heard it's great.
It's a good one.
And the third season's kind of bad, but like he has a way of just like being able to like look at somebody and like immediately like pick out these details and like understand exactly like, you know, their family history and like what they were doing
the
night
before.
It's
the power of observation.
Yeah, and
it's the power of observation.
But I feel like that's a little bit like, I mean, they play it up a bit on that show where it's like almost the superpower that he has, and it's like it goes beyond the five senses, and it's like it's just a way of processing things faster and like picking up on things like, I don't know, being able to detect somebody's pheromones, perhaps. Like, see if they're angry at the moment, or, like, lusty, or, you know, have to take a dump.
And what benefit to knowing if a friend of yours or somebody just run across in normal social situations has to take a dump?
Exactly,
maybe,
yeah.
Well, my sonar could detect a dump.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, you got one chambered.
Seeing it coming down that colon there.
Yeah.
That's as big as a baby.
Sorry, I thought we're not having a defecation show.
Defecation free, but damn it. At least I didn't bring it up, so it doesn't count.
But, oh, the other thing, and this is an actual sixth sense that people are doing. I was reading about this on IO9. People are implanting magnets into their body. Hmm. Like, if you put a magnet here between, like, your index finger and your thumb and that little patch of skin, you start to, like, detect electromagnetic waves and, like, you can, like, get a sense of them.
That sounds like bullshit to me.
Well, I don't have one implanted, but people say that it's working and, like, you can walk into a room. I live in Echo Park. There is a radio broadcast tower. So if you, like, put a piece of metal, if you touch a headphone, and then the headphone will start to play Mexican radio, of course.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now let's just say that maybe you had a gold tooth.
Then
right?
It would
maybe you'd sit there and like some Quebraritas music would start coming out of your mouth. You know, it's funny you talk about that. Like, I think I'm a sensitive person to people's vibes. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm in a work situation,
the scientific term vibes.
Yes,
course.
The scientific vibes. And I just called your belief in electromagnetism bullshit. But I'm really sensitive to people's emotional states around me. And I kind of choose my friends and everything by that, by people I think are good vibey people. Because if people have like confused vibes around me, or they're angry, or they're mulling over something in their head, like it almost like paralyzes me. And I don't know if other people have that feeling, but like I worked with a guy that was a real angry dude for a long time. And when the guy would come into work, I could feel him like the next cubicle over, and it would like distract my whole mindset. Like I would be so focused on his shit. You guys are looking at me like
I usually socially I steer away from people that use the word vibes. I do. I don't like vibes. Maybe because they're saying I don't like the vibes I'm getting from that guy when they're talking about me. But I just if someone uses the word vibes, I'm like, all right, I'm out.
No, your vibes are clean, Buck. That's why we're good. We're good homies. You don't like traumatize me. Other people, they exhaust me with their emotional states, and it's like living with a woman. Because women, they sometimes don't have the ability to disguise their emotional states. And I don't know if this is a woman thing or just like, you know, people in general. But like if my wife's in a bad mood about something, like I can't focus on anything. Like it gets in my head. Like I can't turn it off when other people's vibes are wild or negative around me. Maybe you guys are looking at me like I'm nuts. I don't know.
No.
I'm not as sensitive to it as you seem to be.
Yeah,
like,
you're like
a freaking, you know, one of the psychics contacting the dead here. You're very sensitive to
you're the yeah. John Edwards of.
I was trying to think of a name.
I don't know. It was like I was listening to Dr. Drew's podcast, and Dr. Drew's one of these guys that says, like, man, I'm real sensitive to other people's shit, and so if someone has like a confused energy around me, like it sets me off and it makes me wildly uncomfortable until you can personally mitigate that energy. And so, like, I feel personally like if someone's in a weird state, like, I got to go over to them, tell some jokes, maybe get their vibe right, get their vibe correct. Maybe that makes me a nut. But that's probably what makes me a sensitive creative type, is that, like, I can't not react to that kind of shit.
And a sensitive lover, from what I hear.
Giving lover.
That's good.
Definitely at that. We'll finish off this one, which I wish I had the ability to see into the beyond. Like John Edwards, like you're saying, like I could walk up to the mall and go up to somebody and say, your father has been trying to contact you and he wants you to know that he's okay.
Wow.
You know, or on the back end, be like, you know, just walk up to somebody, touch them on the back and say, I've seen your father from beyond and he doesn't like you.
And you want this power, why? Like, because it seems like a curse to me.
Yeah, it's you're going to be talking to dead people all the time. It's going to be depressing shit. It's like, oh, Tom, I love him so much. Oh. And they're like weepy ghosts.
It's a gift I can give to people. You know, but then it might be a curse. Like, I'm walking around and there's all these people with these heavy vibes from
you're
beyond.
You're killing their vibe is what I'm saying. I'm having a good day at the mall. I'm a fucking hot dog on a stick. You're coming up saying, you know, someone's mad at me.
Oogling the hot dog on a stick girls, and then you don't want to hear about your dead dad.
Yeah.
Have you had that moment? I got caught once.
Ogling the hot dog when they're pumping that lemonade.
Ogling the hot dog on a stick girl, or laughing at the one guy who works a hot dog on a stick. That's what you do.
No, I was working at Sears, and I used to go on my lunch break. There was a hot dog on a stick, and Torrance was one like really hot, like 16-year-old girl, and I'd stand back on my lunch break and just kind of watch her. And then she caught me watching her pumping the lemonade.
Creepy vibes.
And then she brought over her friend. And I could see it. They were working, and she went, and she whispered, and then she pointed at me. And I said that I was in my Sears suit, and I was like, oh, my God. It has, like, my name, like, Todd. Like, Todd there is looking at us in a really fucking pervy way. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to the podcast today. I'd like to thank Buck Perez.
Hey, thank you, Tom.
I think Jeff Harmet. Jeff, here's the deal. You came in today. You stayed up till 7 in the morning last night.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing it. You did a great job. I drank all day yesterday because it was my birthday. And so I was not at top speed today. Everybody feels the vibes. Buck Perez came in after a long, hard day of work.
At a winery. Yeah.
Oh, wasn't that bad.
Though. Yeah, it was not bad. Yes, yeah, so I'm all right. Don't cry for me, Argentina. I'll be all right.
Uncle Satchmo's lullaby.
Ich sag gute Nacht.
And I say good night.
Schon leuchtet ein Stern.
Yes, I see the light.
Die Sonne geht schlafen, der Tag ist vorbei.
When Uncle Satchmo sings his lullaby, Baba da da da, he says.
Ich träume von dir.
And I dream of you.
Bleib in mein großer Freund.
Yes, I do.